Welcome to Talkin' Baseball. Today is July 29th. We are inching closer to the trade deadline. We do have some trades to talk about. We got a lot of madness to talk about, Jake. A lot of people got mad, a ton of walk-offs, some standing shuffles, and a lot of good stuff. Let's do it. Talkin' Baseball. All right, let's talk baseball. Jake, how you doing this Monday morning?
Did you say standing shuffles?
Yeah.
What are those?
The standings have shuffled.
The standings have shuffled. Okay. I thought you were saying standing shuffles, like that was a new code for baseball fights or something.
I did say standings shuffled because that's the standings shuffled.
Right. I didn't get the S on the end of standings. So I thought you were literally standing. We'll get some hard S's going the rest of this podcast. I'm doing good, man. Deadline is sneaking up. We're what, 48 hours away, something like that. And we've already had some movement. We had some good baseball this past week, this past weekend. Dude, there were so many walk-offs. Just yesterday, never mind the whole weekend.
Yeah, there were a ton of walk-offs, a ton of ejections.
Yeah, so it was a big weekend for baseball. We were waiting for that kind of sorting period of teams that would be the buyers and sellers. We kind of hit that. I feel like the beginning of last week, there was really no more teams in that tweener area. And now it's just a matter of getting it done. And I mean, the Blue Jays and the Mets dropped the first bomb, but I think we're getting there in a little bit. So how are you doing, Jimmer?
I'm good. I'm frustrated because the live won't work right now. And we have a lot of patrons that have live access. We had some people in the chat that wanted to hang out with us live, but internet won't work. Need to go need this to become a real thing pretty soon for my brain. I don't want to be producing this anymore, basically. Right. But anyway, we're good. A lot of baseball. It's getting fun. It seems like we're later in the season than we are. Like, because the trade deadline makes it seem like you have to make or break your season right now. We got two more months of games. But it's without the waiver wire, it's you got to make your move right now. And then you got to hope it's crazy. You got to hope you make the right move. And as a Yankee fan, you know, all Yankee fans are saying, like, we've got to do something. It's like, there's 2 months left. There's so much baseball left. There's so much to do. But yeah, man, it was a lot of ejections, a lot of walk-offs, and a lot of weird trade talks that are bizarre. We'll get into all of it. I'm excited about that. I do have to say that this episode is brought to you by Curtis Kopp.
Yep.
Or Cope. It's K-O-P-P. I think Cope.
Kopp.
That's cool. Curtis Kopp. Anthony Loscalzo.
Yeah, good paisan.
Bacon Steak to Go, Jake.
Okay, family name.
He was in the chat. Missing out.
Damn.
Spencer Griffin, think he was also in the chat. Sage Gordado.
Gordado, everyday
Gordado.
Eddie.
Say Jared Davis, nailed it. Jason Miller, Nate Killian.
Yeah,
and Andrew S. Gregory.
Nice, two first names.
Those are our most recent Patreons. Patrons is $2 a month. You get a chance to win a jersey of your choice. Every month, two people will win one just via a raffle, and you get live access to this show. And once we get organized, I think we're going to try and do a lot more perks down the road. Everything's kind of crazy right now, though. But we appreciate everyone that supports us. It's patreon.com/JohnBoyMedia. That's it. Are you ready to get into the reports? Should we just head into baseball talk?
I think so, man. Yeah, I guess we're going to cover it all. That's quite literally the goal, so I think so.
All right. I need you to tell me what happened in the National League. I have zero idea.
Perfect.
So, two fake minutes on the clock.
Our promise to the people, we will not watch every baseball game. So, Jim, your National League report will start at the top of the NL Beast. The Braves score 24 runs to win the first two games versus Philadelphia. They end up dropping the third, but they'll take their series win to stay atop the East. The Nationals drop two out of three at home. versus the Dodgers, who had quality starts from Ryu and Kershaw. Step right up and greet the Mets, Jim. They sweep the Pirates, and they sweep up Marcus Stroman in a trade with Toronto. We'll get there later. Your Florida Fishies, they win a series at home over Arizona, Jim. Is that the hump that broke the camel's straw for Arizona to start trading? The Marlins get some good pitching and a nice walk-off Friday. Back-to-back sack flies for the walk-off. Well, hey, Jim, we'll jump to the Central. The Baby Bears, they lose 2 out of 3 to the Beer Makers. That's Cubs Brewers, people, including an eighth-inning comeback and our guy, Heston Kiura. He had a walk-off in that one. St. Louis, they lose the rubber match and the series at home to Houston, so that'll happen. But they did win Game 1, so that's got to be a little deflating for them as the NL Central tightens up. Cincy gets their doors blown off Game 1, but Jim, then they win 2 pitchers' duels against, that's right, your slump watch Colorado Rockies. And then to the NL West, you heard the Dodgers beat the Nats. You heard the D-backs lost to Miami. You heard the Rocks lost to Cincinnati. But, Jim, do you believe in magic? The San Francisco Giants, they take 2 out of 3 versus the Padres, including an 11th-inning Pablo Sandoval home run that helped them take the first game of that series. Los Ibero Gigantes stay hot, Jim.
That's amazing. All right, so there's some interesting things here in the National League that, yes, like we said, Jake does the report, and I try to do the AL report. So I genuinely am interested to hear what he's saying. And here's what I got for you, Jake. The Cubs and St. Louis both losing their series and staying tied in the standings is fun. Like St. Louis just tied them. So they're both at the same exact record. They go to a 3-game set each. They both go 1-2, 56 and 49. But now you got Milwaukee, who took 2 of 3 from the Cubs, 1 game back. That's going to be so much fun. I'm so excited for the NL Central down the stretch.
Yeah, the NL Central, I mean, outside of the wild, actually both Central divisions, if we're being honest. I know I'm jumping a little bit. Those are going to be the 2 division races this year. The wild card is always, you know, is always going to be exciting to a degree, just because you got so many teams around there fighting for it. The NL Central, Cubs, Cards, Brewers, and even the AL Central, Indians, Twins. You're going to see some battles in the Midwest. And, yeah, I mean, Cubs, Cardinals, Brewers, those are the teams that have kind of run that division now for a little bit. The Pirates were fun there for a little bit, huh? But, I mean, those are the 3 teams. You've got Yelich on the Brewers. Goldie, you might hear him later on the Cardinals. And just all those young Cubs guys that, you know, Rizzo, Bryant. So coming down the stretch, man, every week the NL Central update is going to be a good time.
And then the other thing that widens my eyes is that the Giants did it again.
Can't stop, won't stop. I get down, baby. They get the Mad Bum win, the final game. Him and Joe West having a good time, old buddies, old angry buddies you probably don't want to drink with. But, yeah, man, they win the first game of that series, the 11th inning, Sandoval. And they're just rolling, man. And they went from heart. It's crazy how much these 2 weeks – legitimately matter on how we view players and how we view teams. Because the Giants, again, their bullpen was supposed to be a lot of trade pieces. Madison Bumgarner's been getting traded for the past year and a half, and now it looks like everyone's going to stay. Hell, they might go out and get a bat just because they're doing the damn thing right now. So
they are 18-5 in the month of July.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it.
With about 6 or 7 come from behind victories. I will say this, Jake. They're 2.5 games out of the wild card right now. Their division isn't up for grabs. The Dodgers have that incredibly locked up. But they're 2.5 games out the wild card, but they're jumping some teams. There's 3 ahead of them right now, I believe.
Yeah, so they are right now your wild card. Cubs, St. Louis, and Washington are all tied. And then you've got Philly, Milwaukee, and then San Francisco.
So there's 4 teams ahead of them. So it's still a climb. But I'm looking at they play Philly coming up. They're ahead of them, right? If they work their magic on Philly, if they win the series against Philly, then that puts them, I mean, they're inching closer, direct competition for the wild card. Then they go to the terrible Rockies, or the Rockies come to them. Then they play the Nationals and the Phillies again. So they kind of have their destiny in their hands. If their magic continues for another week and a half, the Giants, we may be like, holy shit.
Yeah, and I think it's, well, everyone should be rooting for the Giants because it's one of the more fun stories. A, the fact that they weren't playing well. B, how well they're playing. And C, Bruce Bochy in his last season as manager, and they're putting this thing together. I hope we're not here in 2 weeks. The Giants don't trade away any pieces at the deadline and they have a brutal 2 weeks. That would suck. That would suck if this whole thing flipped on them and they were like, well, those 3 weeks stopped us from being sellers, and now we've screwed ourselves going forward by missing out on five prospects we could have added to our organization. But at the same time, I know that kind of went to negative Nancyville. They're rolling and it's so much fun. Like this is literally what sports is about. Happy for my Giants still.
Happy for your Giants. All right, you ready for the what's that?
Go get a bat, the Giants. Bring Hunter Pence back. Why not?
That'd be fun. I'd root for that. All right, sure. You ready for your AO report?
I think I am, Jim. What did I miss in the American League?
Well, we'll start out here in the American League East. You did not miss this. The Yankees got smoked by the Red Sox. They scored 39 runs in the first two games, took the first three of a four-game set. The Yankees did salvage it, not get swept by winning the last game. They are the Yankees are still 10 games up in the loss column to Boston, but that was a chance to do damage at the Yankees. Got damage done to them. The Rays and the Blue Jays squared off in a series that was more about trades than games, I think. The Rays took 2 out of 3. The Rays came back from being down 8-1 after the fifth to win game 3 and the series, but I think the Blue Jays had some other things on their mind. Some trades were going down during that game. The Orioles played the Angels, and the Orioles almost swept the Angels in a 4-game set, Jake. Which that just would be super embarrassing for the Angels. Rookie Matt Theis homered twice in the final game, and the second was a walk-off to avoid the sweep. The Rangers and the Athletics squared off for a 4-game set. Tempers flared. Oakland won 3 games. They win the last game on a walk-off walk. Always fun, but the opposite of fun, kind of. Houston lost game 1, but like Jake told you, they came back and took the series from the Cardinals. The Twins and White Sox matched up, and the Twins took care of business, winning 3 games out of 4. They kind of needed that because they were on a tiny bit of a slide. Nelson Cruz went off, and Michael Pineda had a nice start, an old friend. The Indians and Royals squared up for 4 games, a lot of 4-game sets, and the Indians took care of business. They took 3 of 4 from the Royals. They stay hot in the fight, but the story now is Trevor Bauer throwing the ball over the center field wall and not the good baseball the Indians are playing. Tigers versus Mariners squared off in a series that no one cares about. The Tigers got swept, Jake. A 4-game sweep. Seattle had 2 walk-offs. The Tigers are now 3-19 in July and have lost 12 games in their last 13. Gross. The Tigers are gross. Sorry, Tigers. Well, you guys got to like start the rebuild. I don't even think you've started it. Anyway, the wild card in the American League is dwindling, Jake. It's really a 4-team race. Boston, Tampa, Oakland, Cleveland. There you have it.
Yeah, Jim. I think what jumped out to me from that report, A, how bad Detroit is. Wow, the Tigers.
They're the worst team in baseball now. Like they only have 30 easily. Wins.
Baltimore, if you're looking at the bottom of the standings, which a lot of people do, three game lead on Detroit for the worst team. The Marlins have 40 wins. Detroit has 30. That's pretty mind boggling for Detroit, which is a pretty proud baseball city. But you're right, they aren't in the thick of rebuilding. They're at like the tip of the iceberg and bottoming out and getting some top draft picks in. So what really jumped out to me, besides that, Jim. There are going to be 2 good teams in the American League that miss out on the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
And man, it again, they're another team. They're like the inverted Miami, the Oakland A's. We just picture them small market, pesky. We never fully give them the love or the chance. Man, they are in it right now. They're the wild card team right now. The Rays and Red Sox are out, and they're going to be in the division scrapping. And while Oakland's out there, yeah, they've got Houston. I don't think they're going to catch Houston, but man, you're going to have two teams with really high expectations that miss the playoffs in the AL, and I think that's what's becoming the story over there.
Yeah. The A's, they keep having comebacks. They're doing stuff right now. They're seeing the Giants, and they're like, hey, we want some of that Bay Area magic.
Yeah, wow. Maybe that's what's actually going on here, just the Yay Area, man.
Again, some magic dustings of rain. Probably not.
Man. E-40.
Let's see. The A's have Milwaukee and St. Louis, and then the Cubs. They got three interleague game series in a row? That's bizarre.
No way.
Isn't that kind of wild?
Yes. My initial reaction was you're misreading the schedule, because that would be wild.
No, they play the Brewers for three, then the Cardinals for two, on the road, at home, and then they go to Chicago and play the Cubs for three. So they have eight interleague games in a row. Then they have a three-game set versus the White Sox, then two versus the Giants. So...
yeah, your National League Oakland Athletics, basically.
10 of the next 13 games for the Oakland A's are versus the National League.
And not for nothing, I mean, obviously we get to this part of the season, and if you break something down to 13 games, those games are going to be very important. Man, I kind of like that for Oakland. That's very Oakland A's of them, for them to come in and sneak out a couple NL series wins. It's just so we look in 2 weeks from now, 13 games, that we look back and we're like, yeah, the A's stayed pretty hot. They snuck up on some teams. Not everyone knows about Laureano and Semien. I don't know. It sounds like a nice little Oakland A's stretch.
Yeah. The other race is in the Central. Basically, the only real race right now for division is in the Central. And Minnesota took three out of four, and Cleveland took three out of four. So it stays exactly where it was, with Cleveland two games back, I believe. Yeah, two games back in the loss column. So good for those teams. I think that's going to be more fun. I think the Twins should be more nervous than they are. Cleveland doesn't have pitching, and there's talks that they're going to trade away Bauer. I don't get it at all, because he's one of their three pitchers. I think trading him away means you forfeit the season, and you're two games out of the division. And if you go into the playoffs with Bauer, Clevinger, Bieber, that's a good 1-2-3.
Yeah.
So I have no idea why they'd trade Bauer.
If Kluber can somehow get back, yeah, I mean, I don't know what's actually the financials and stuff. That's what they're talking about in Cleveland, and they want to trade him while he's high. But yeah, you're right. I mean, that's just not a message you send to a team. I think maybe that would make a little more sense if Houston were to go nuclear, if Houston went out and got Syndergaard or something like that. Because then I just think you're looking at them like, I don't think we can do anything against them. That would take a couple different shoes to drop. Man, it's I know you and I we were in the middle of Yanks Sox this weekend, and the Sox put on a display for a little bit. Man, it's so crazy how just sometimes winning one game in baseball can be so huge. I mean, I think if the Red Sox won that game last night, people would expect a big topic of this show to be like, the Red Sox are back in this AL East race. And then the Yankees win last night, and you look at the standings, Red Sox are technically back to third in the East. And it's funny the images we keep in our heads of different organizations. It's kind of what I was saying about Oakland before. If Boston had won last night, I think you could honestly come up here and say, hey, man, some of those Boston teams get that magic going. Oh, my God. If they snag Edwin Diaz from the Mets, Boston's coming for the East. Now I think that's kind of muted all of that.
I think it's in limbo right now. And next Monday's show, we will tell you if Boston's in the race or not. Because currently they're 10 games back in the loss column still. There's a four-game set starting this Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday in the Bronx. And if Boston takes 3 out of 4 there, Jake, then yes, they're okay. in the race for the East. And Yankee fans should be worried. But the Yankees can still, they can take 3 out of 4 in their building, and then it becomes a 13-game, or it becomes a 12-game lead. 12-game lead, and then you're thinking, okay. You know, so this Yankees could have ended it. They didn't. They get one more chance, and if they don't again, then yeah. Then I'm going to start to get worried because the Red Sox are playing good ball.
Yeah, and you know it's insane, Jim, and it's something I've stolen from you, is about how quickly baseball moves. And just you were talking about next weekend's Yankees-Red Sox series, and I thought about everything that's going to take place between now and then. The trade deadline for both teams. What are each of those teams going to bring in? Are the Red Sox going to add some relief? Are the Yankees going to add some starting pitching? They each have series before they play each other. Are they going to pick up a little momentum? Or could one of those teams lose some momentum? And then what happens in those four games? And I guess that's something that we're trying to do here at Talkin' Baseball. Is tell people how cool that is. Realize how different each of those teams' upcoming weeks can be. And, hey, tell your friend. Check out Talkin' Baseball. How about that?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That'd be cool.
That'd be cool. All right, you want to go to see the trades that happened?
I think so. The storyline, some trades. There's the one big one, Jim.
The Derek Holland one?
I was going Sogard, but...
Well, Derek Holland got traded from the Giants to the Cubs for cash considerations. Very ancillary piece. Derek Holland was in their rotation, got moved out of their rotation, went to the bullpen. Cubs have a terrible bullpen. We might be talking about that come slump watch. So that's nothing. Let's do Stroman last. The Rays made some moves, Jake, and I like these moves because they explain the inner workings of roster construction, which a lot of people kind of aren't familiar with if you're like getting into baseball and like, why would they do this? Why would they do that? So first, the Rays have a lot of infielders on the IL and Joey Wendell's not having a magic season like he did last year. So they want infield help. So they get Sogard from the Blue Jays for a player to be named later. So the Blue Jays actually, they have some time to pick two pitchers from a group of four pitchers in the lower levels. So the Rays said, out of these four pitchers, by this date, you can pick the two. Which is like a fun way to trade, that's like allowed. Some thoughts. The Blue Jays picked up Sogard on a minor league contract because no one wanted him as a free agent. And he played so well that they can now trade him and get two minor league pitchers back. I like when that happens to teams. They take a chance on a minor leaguer and then they get rewarded for it. So good for the Blue Jays there. That's fun. You need to be in a position to kind of ride out a minor leaguer to do it, but still fun. Anyway, so now the Rays, they got a lot of guys on their 60-day DL. Glasnow, and there's someone else I'm blanking. And when they come off the 60-day DL, they need to be put on the 40-man. So they need to clear room on the 40-man roster for Sogard and for their injured players. So they traded Hunter Wood and Christian Arroyo. Christian Arroyo's actually on the 60-man DL, and Hunter Wood's a reliever. They trade them to the Indians for international bonus money and minor leaguer Ruben Cardenas. That trade was basically just to clear space because Hunter Wood and Christian Arroyo don't have any options left, Jake. So it's either DFA them or trade them. There's so many of these movies that go on in baseball, and you don't really know the reasons behind them.
Yeah, and Hunter Wood, he'll be comfortable in Cleveland. He was the king pirate for Tampa out of their bullpen.
Yeah, he's a gross pirate.
Him and Mikey Clevenger are gonna have a good time out there sharing some hair product. And that's you summed it up pretty good, man. There's the 25 man and the 40 man roster, and you got to navigate things sometimes with the option. So the Rays were navigating around that, and yeah, man, good for the Jays for getting anything for Sogard. Sogard's 2018, man, was unbelievably bad when he was getting some run for the Brewers. He's had a nice little year in Toronto. A lot of it does look fluky to some of the advanced stats, not to be Debbie Downer. I think he's got one of the lowest hard hit rates and one of the lowest WOBAs. Whoa, there's an advanced stat for a couple people if you want it. But yeah, no, dude, doesn't Eric Sogard feel like a Tampa guy? Like, they're just going to move him around a little. He's going to give you some pesky at bats, and, you know, some of them are going to end well, some of them aren't. I mean, he feels like he's future Joey Wendell or something like that.
There's reports that they might try to flip Sogard.
Sure.
All right, I get it. And then the international bonus money, if you're not familiar with that, if we have any, like, you know, new to baseball listeners, each team is allotted some money to go sign international players, but you can trade that money to other teams. And some teams covet international bonus money. The Yankees do. And some teams don't care for it that much yet. So the Rays just got $250,000 of that.
Yeah.
Yep. Because that Christian Arroyo Hunter Wood for money, like, you don't really know what that is all about. So it's very much just roster construction moves and not like the Indians really wanted these guys.
Hey, Hunter Wood. I've seen him throw some innings.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And he is going to have a lot of fun with Clevinger talking about hair. They're like, what do you put in your hair? Nothing. What do you put in yours? Oh, nothing. Oh, that's why these both look gross?
We might be able to get, like, one of those poorly made local commercials out of Hunter Wood and Mike Clevinger, if we're lucky.
Okay, I like that.
If we're lucky. So that's something to what to watch for there.
The big trade is Marcus Stroman from the Blue Jays to the Mets. Marcus Stroman has this season and next season on the books, so the Mets have him for 2020 as well. They traded two pitching prospects to the Blue Jays. One is like a rising prospect. They both, neither of them are top 100, right? Like I think anyone that says they're really good, they're like minor league lovers.
Yeah, I mean, it was Anthony Kay, former first round pick for the Mets. He I don't know. He was looking really strong in Double A this year. He got called to Triple A. He's getting knocked around a little bit, but is a former first round pick, Jim, out of UConn. How about that? Go Huskies! But yeah, not listed as a top 100 prospect. He's 24 years old. I mean, there's a chance he's going to get a shot in the major leagues at some point. It's what are you? I guess you could say that with any prospect. And then Simeon Woods Richardson. He's the rising prospect. He's still a kid. He turns 19 in a couple months, and he was a second round pick by the Mets. And he's the one that I think people are getting high on. He's got some high strikeout rates in the minor leagues right now, 78.1, 97 strikeouts. But Jim, all of those stats and all that information is a long winded way of saying that neither of these two guys are highly touted. I mean, they're two pitchers that I think you can like and you can say have some serious major league potential. But one's a kid and one's close to the bigs and not a big time prospect. So it kind of goes with your theory / I mean truth that you know, a lot of trade hauls get way overblown, and this is one of them.
Yeah, if you were like, what's Stroman worth? Everyone was saying higher than this. And I don't know, but I was trying to tell people, like, it's always lower. It's always lower than what you think. Dude, this kid's a kid. He's 18 years old.
Yeah.
Wow. Just graduated high school, Sugar Land, Texas. He was a second round pick in 2018. So, like, whatever. We have probably some people unfamiliar with. With me, I'm very cynical and skeptical of prospects. So some people see prospects as, you know, a lottery ticket. Some people see lottery tickets as lottery tickets. I see them as a piece of trash.
Ooh, hello.
Actual lottery tickets.
Yeah, and I mean, that's... Oh, the actual lottery tickets.
I don't see this kid as a piece of trash. He's got talent.
I mean,
can
it sounds... Well, people are talking, man.
No, I'm a big Simeon Woods Richardson fan. You can't have three names and not amount to anything.
6'3", 210, big boy. Yeah, Jim, and it's where the prospect game gets so tricky, and lottery tickets almost works out in a good and a bad way because it almost turns into a numbers game. Like, go out and grab. we've seen Brian Cashman do it with the Yankees, and now Domingo Germán is part of that. Just get a couple different bodies in the trade because you never know what a prospect is really going to turn out to be. I know I was digging through some old stuff the other day. Jim, you know our guy Yordan Alvarez, who's been killing it for the Astros?
Yeah.
He was traded at the deadline in 2016 for reliever Josh Fields. So that was Houston and the Dodgers trading. And they got Josh Fields, who pitched a couple important relief innings, but it was Josh Fields. And now, here we are, modern day, Yordan Alvarez looks like he might be one of the bigger power threats in the AL for a while. So you kind of never know what you're getting into. And that's, you and I were talking briefly last night, and it's funny. Like, we genuinely just don't know. Like, what the Jays top scout could have been in the room. Maybe there's something that we would view as just people that watch the game regularly and say, like, oh, they could have got that guy and that guy for Stroman. They're pretty good. But if the Blue Jays head scout is in there hammering the table saying, I love these two prospects, they're easily the best haul we can get, maybe that's how the decision gets made. I think you're right. The output or the return for a lot of these trades does get overblown. But I think, Jim, even with that hat on, this was a little bit of a shallow return than a lot of people expected.
Yeah. And big news is that Woods Richardson puts both of those last names on his jersey. So yeah, it's so many letters. It's okay, like more than Saltalamacchia, who I think used to have the record for most letters. It's literally almost a circle.
So we Woods are Richardson. Big, big Simeon Woods Richardson fan is what you're telling me.
No, I don't like that look. You guys got to do like W Richardson. You can't have both names on there. It's too, the jersey looks ridiculous.
Wow. Damn.
It's a tough break, and I'm sorry about it, but your jersey looks crazy. It's too many letters.
Dang. That's tough.
That's tough. Anyway, what does this mean, Jake? What does this mean? The Mets are six games out of the wild card with a bunch of teams ahead of them. Are they going to flip Syndergaard? Or not flip. Are they going to trade Syndergaard and keep Stroman? Like, that's what I would think. Mets fans are like, oh, we got a rotation of Stroman, DeGrom, Wheeler, Syndergaard now. It's like you've had the best rotation on paper for the last 6 years. You've had the best rotation on paper going. One of them, a top rotation on paper. You haven't done a thing with it. So, like, I think they're going to trade Syndergaard.
Yeah, I think there was funny. Buster Olney dropped the nuke, and he was like, yeah, rival scouts are saying, you know, Marcus Stroman paired up with one of the worst defensive infields in our history with his ground ball rate. It's just like shots fired off the bat. I don't know, man, and Jim, well, I'm so excited to see this deadline play out because, I mean, a couple things we haven't really talked about. So now that that's out on Syndergaard and the Mets got Stroman, can't teams kind of lowball the Mets? Like, can't they be like, well, you went out and got Stroman, which means you want to flip Syndergaard. Well, if you're going to move him, here's our offer. Like, haven't they just lost some leverage?
Oh, I thought of it the opposite way. I thought of it as now that Syndergaard's available, teams are going to rush there, and they're going to know that every other team is rushing there, and the Mets are going to get like a ton of fantastic offers. Like, if this was proof that Syndergaard's available with two more years of control and this year, because if he's a game changer this year, like even as a rental, he's kind of right. Can be a game changer. Then you get two more years. I took it as the Mets are going to get 10 times the offers because now the Yankees are going to try and block the Astros, who are going to try and block the Indians, who are going to try and block Minnesota. You got the Padres who are interested. I mean, I thought it was like, I thought it was a mad dash.
Oh, see, I don't know, man. I mean, now that they brought him in and it's out there, I think you're right. Maybe there's a chance. I think, but Jim, what if I told you this deadline passes and Syndergaard is still a Met and so is Stroman?
I'm not shocked by anything the Mets do.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I guess that would be my counter to you, is that you're basically saying in those words that they got Stroman and we liked that deal because there weren't any really big prospects. And now you're saying that the Mets are going to turn Syndergaard into this great return? I mean, just think of all the words you're saying. Those are words that just don't add up. That's me getting hopeful for the New York Knicks. It's a bad idea and it doesn't make sense.
I'm not following. I think it makes like a lot of sense.
Oh, I'm saying the Mets doing it, because the Mets don't do good things like this.
Oh, you're saying the move makes sense, but the Mets doing it doesn't make sense because the Mets don't do moves that make sense.
Correct.
I'm following now. Yeah, we'll see, man. I don't know. They should, because like I said, they've had good pitching for a while, and they have good hitter. I don't know what's wrong with the Mets, man. But Buster only dropping that nuke of a tweet like Stroman's the biggest ground ball pitcher and the Mets have the worst infield defense. Get him, yeah. Buster.
Like historically bad. Brody Van GM likes the spotlight. It's going to be on them for the next 48 hours to see what they can do. And Jim, that might even be the craziest part. They're what, 6 games out of the wild card? This might have been a Mets like we're going for it move, which that could even be the craziest part.
The Mets going for it. Who knows? Like I said, there's 2 months of baseball left. If that's the message they wanted to send to their team and their fan base, I'm not mad at that message. Like if the Mets do say, we got Stroman, and they make like another move for whatever else they need.
Relief pitching, defense, offense, baseball players.
Well, if they do something like that, Jake, I'm not going to be mad at a team for trying to go for it.
I think you just were, because you said that formula hasn't worked.
No, but they need like off. They've never tried to get good offense. All their moves have been so stupid.
That's what I'm saying. So I don't think you can just give them credit for going against Roman with everything else you just said.
No, I said I'd give them credit if they went out and got 2 more pieces.
Right.
I mean, for the New York fan base, like that's better than selling. They may win over some Mets fans. Like our Mets fan was excited, our friend.
But what if they don't do any other moves? That's what I'm saying.
Then that's dumb.
Okay.
They either need to sell Syndergaard for a great return, or they need to go trade more. They should sell Syndergaard for like, is there a help now return out there for him? I don't think so.
I mean, depends what you consider help now and depends who you consider available.
Yeah, that's such a weird move. And I feel bad for Stroman as much as people don't want to like admit it. Like they're like, look at his tweet. He's happy. I'm like, okay, look at his tweet. Okay.
Yeah.
As if he's going to tweet out, fuck this. They said there was a big commotion in the locker room. He wanted to go to a contender, Jake. He was tweeting out second half savage.
He wanted to go to the Yankees.
Yeah, or anywhere. Like he was liking.
No, I mean, he's from New York. He said on R2C2. I mean, the dude wanted to go to the Yankees.
Yeah, and he had liked tweets about him going to the Braves. Like he just wanted to go to a contender, and the Mets are 6 games out. And they're just an inept organization, so kind of a bummer. Boom. Kind of a bummer for him. Sorry, Mets fans.
Congrats.
I'm rooting for the Mets.
Good luck.
Good luck. All right, you want to get into everything else, all the fun stuff?
I think so. I like the fun stuff.
You like the fun stuff? All right, let's go to Jake's standout performance.
Jake's standout performance.
Standout performance, Jake. Who had a performance that lit up your eyes?
Let me get a little smelling salts before I say this on the air. Jim, we are such Yankee homers. It's all we do. So there's no way that I'm making my standout performance Mookie Betts. Jim, we got to see it. 4 for 5. He had a 3 homer game, just popping balls over the monster, sent him into Lansdowne Street. 5 RBIs. Jim, his batting average in July is up 20 points. His OPS is up 50 points in July. He's slashing .366, .462 with a 1.088 OPS. A lot closer to his MVP numbers than he has been. Jim, the Red Sox shoved this weekend and they needed it. And they need this guy. I mean, man, it's kind of nuts that we've been looking at the Red Sox lineup this year. And Mookie's been there, but he hasn't been Mookie. And he's starting to show signs of that. The guys leading the Red Sox offense are Rafael Devers and Xander Bogaerts. And I think if you're on the outside world, especially if you saw what they did last year, it was so special. Betts, Benintendi, J.D. Martinez. And then, you know, they'd normally throw someone in that four hole. If it was a lefty, they'd throw Steve Pearce in there and he'd maul you. But those three were so vicious to get through. And now with the year Bogaerts and Devers are having, man, if Betts gets it going like he has been, J.D. Martinez has been good. He's got another gear in there. You wonder if he finds that. And Benintendi, he had a huge weekend. You wonder if he gets it going. But this weekend, Jim, a chunk of their season was on the line. They held serve at home. They put up huge runs. And, I mean, that one performance by Mookie, you crack the level on the other side. When it's happening against your team, you're like, how can we possibly be letting him go for a third one? But special players will do that to you, too. And he had a pitch to hit for his fourth home run. He only hit a double on it. So regression happens to the best players. But I'm giving it to the Mook man, especially if the Sox want to do this thing going forwards.
Good for the Mook man.
Yeah.
Three home runs. Three home run performance is good. James Paxton is bad.
Yeah, you might hear him mentioned briefly later.
You can't do. Someone tried to play that game with me yesterday because I said G.R. Shell is locked in, and they're like, "You mean Chris Sale's just bad?" And it's like, well, not everyone's hitting the ball that way. Like James Paxton's bad, but not every player hit three home runs. So Mookie gets a ton of credit for being.
None of them did.
None of them did. Yeah, but people like to play that game.
Oh yeah.
My standout performance is a pitcher, Jake.
Who's your standout performance, Jim?
Did one of the more fun things in baseball in present day because it's so rare.
Yeah.
Steven Matz pitched a Maddux. If you're not familiar,
Mets, baby.
A Maddux is a complete game shutout in less than 100 pitches. And guess what? The game ended on his 99th pitch, Jake.
Yeah, he had to. He was forced to.
I think the hitter put it in play, which is great. 99th pitch, 5 hits, 7 Ks, 0 walks. This is where it gets weird, this performance. Great job by Steven Matz. It's the best outing of his life. The Pittsburgh Pirates, Jake, they had a base runner in 5 of 9 innings. Yet he still kept the pitch count under 100 in a complete game. Isn't that bizarre?
A little bit. I mean, that can end up helping you out sometimes if you get a couple double plays, but yeah.
Only one double play.
Yeah.
That was crazy. I was like, wait, what? How did the Pirates had a lot of guys on base for a complete game shutout under 100 pitches. But anyway, good for Steven Matz. I don't know what his future holds with the Mets. Him and Stroman can become buddies. They're both Long Island guys, right?
Yeah, I think so. I'm sure that story will definitely leak out in a week or two that Matz and Stroman played against each other or something. Right now the Mets, DeGrom, Syndergaard, Wheeler, Matz, Vargas, and Stroman. So someone's got to move. Otherwise the Mets are going full six man, which again, don't be surprised by whatever the Mets do.
Where's Ward Melville? I wonder if they did. Are they the same age, Stroman and Matz? Because that is fun if they're like the same age from the same area now on the same team. Like if there's a chance that they played together.
Well, Matz is 28, I believe.
So he's older.
And Stroman, how old is Stro? He's got to be around there, right?
Marcus Stroman is
28.
Wow.
He's Medford, New York. So yeah, we'll so watch out for that story.
Yeah, and they're both from Long Island. I wonder if they played against each other in high school. They had to be at the same camps and like events and stuff. That's
AAU
cool.
Team showcase. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Marcus Stroman and Steven Matz. Good for them. But Matz, complete game shutout. 99 pitches, gets the Maddox. Love me. I like complete game shutouts. Like, hint, if someone throws a complete game shutout, they're like jumping up my standings of like a standout performance. I'm a big fan of those, especially this day and age. How much those save your team's bullpen nowadays is insane.
Right, and it's crazy how much, I mean, depending the game situation, but if the game is within like 5 runs nowadays, as a manager, you can get in trouble if you leave the starter out there too long, because teams can put up a crooked number so quick with the rate homers are getting hit, and I mean, especially with the Mets bullpen. A lot of Mets talk. Watch out for that elevator later, but yeah, it's a huge game for Mets, and yeah, the Long Island Mets, we're rolling. We like that.
We like that. Yeah, I do like that. All right, Jake, what's next? Slump Watch. We have a lot of people on Slump Watch, Jake. Too many. I think we need to limit ourselves in the future. We said that last week.
Yeah, that's the tricky now that we've made the rule that you have to play yourself off. That's going to leave some guys hanging out for a while. And the first collection of guys that, Jim, they're staying, and we don't want them to stay. We're so rooting for the Rockies to get off the slump watch, and they just won't do it.
Rockies, I mean, is there a point where it turns into the your bad watch, and that's how you get off? Because I think I think the Rockies might be off slump watch, and they're onto you're just very bad watch.
Jim, wish this was a baseball podcast, and we had some like baseball terms, like three strikes, and you're off the slump watch or something like that. But no, who would think of that? Who would think of something like
that? The Rockies are off, man. They're just bad now.
They're off. Three strikes, you're out for the Rockies. You rode slump watch too long, you're bad.
Yep. Wow. That's tough.
Yeah. This might be a brutal slump watch then.
You say Kikuchi?
You sigh. He plays himself off, Jim. 6.2 turn runs. Get out of here, you sigh.
Versus the Tigers, who are the worst team in baseball, but good for you.
Take it.
Good for you, Kikuchi. And what we got? Both Chris Davis. Both Chris Davises.
Yeah, man. And so Chris Davis on the Orioles, he only played one game. He went 0-for-3 with a walk. I mean, if we're doing new bad watch rules, do we just get Chris Davis out of here?
No, he's still on.
A bad watch.
Last week was his first time on. He stays on for one more week.
Okay, well, he's staying with the other Chris Davis because Chris Davis in Oakland... he goes 1-for-13, so he's staying, man.
He did have the walk-off walk in game 4, though.
Stays.
Okay. And then we had another pitcher.
You know when you're on slump watch like that and a pitcher walks you, that's firmly on the pitcher.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That pitcher should feel like an idiot.
Firmly on the pitcher.
All right. You added Homer Bailey to slump watch last week.
Yeah. And he, Jim, he kicks in a good start for the A's, 6.23 earned runs, so he's clear in my book.
Good job, Homer. Quality start. You're off slump watch. All right, now new additions.
Yeah, so I wrote down a couple hitters here, Jim, and we'll see if both make it or if expectations become a factor here. I've got a couple guys that are in 1-for-19 slides. That's 1-for-19. A couple outfielders. The first one, Greg Allen for your Cleveland Indians. He's in a slide. Jim, the other guy next to him towers over him, not necessarily slump-wise, but literally, Aaron Judge. And, God, my Yankee bias kicks in. Oh, keep talking Yankees. Get your Yankees on the slump watch, dude. Good job. Big Aaron, man. I know the bigger thing, and I hope you don't have the numbers in front of you because I don't. Aaron Judge's career numbers at Fenway at this point are getting ugly.
Yeah, he did have a good postseason at Fenway last year.
Yeah.
But yeah. So last year at Fenway, he was 5 for nine, Jake, with three runs and two RBIs and two home runs. So, like, that's when it matters most. He, like, really played really well in Fenway in the postseason, but his regular season stats at Fenway are very bad.
Yeah, so...
But I almost don't care because of how good that postseason stats are.
I'll leave it to you in the court of law. I mean, are they both on slump watch?
I don't have a say. You put them on there. They're on.
Oh no, I thought this was just an open forum where we discuss things. But okay.
No, they're on slump watch. Yeah.
And then I probably wouldn't have put Greg on there due to expectations. But you're both on. Sorry, guys. And then Jim, the last guy, I put another Yankee. I live there. I'm so Yankee centric. James Paxton, Jim, his last six starts, 29.2 innings, a 6.67 ERA, and the Yankees are 1-5 in James Paxton's last six starts. He throws a dud against the Red Sox. He was part of that Mookie three homer game, and Paxton is firmly there.
Oh yeah. Well, if you want to hear me lose my mind about James Paxton, go listen to today's episode of Talking Yanks. I don't want to relive it because it makes me very angry.
Yeah.
Very angry. All right, you know who I put on? I put on Slump Watch today?
Yeah, looks like you got a crew.
The Cubs bullpen.
Yeah.
The Cubs bullpen. They just traded for Derek Holland because they're desperate. They were desperate in 2016. They made a lot of moves. They won the World Series eventually. But I went over that like a couple episodes ago, all the moves they made in 2016. They're bad, Jake. The Cubs have blown eight saves in July.
Yeah.
In July. Most in the NL and tied for most in baseball. In their last five losses, they had the lead or were tied going into the seventh inning. Every loss comes at the hands of the bullpen.
Yeah.
Brutal.
And dude, that turns into a mental thing at a certain point. I mean, we've kind of seen it with the Mets all year. Like, yes, it's tough not having the talent and performing out of the bullpen. But, dude, when that becomes a thing on your team, you're just living in fear.
You're living in fear of that skunk.
That skunk. And it's a tough way to play baseball, man. So you wonder, Derek Holland, I won't say he's the solution. You wonder what other names they're talking to right now. If this was talking Cubs, tweet out at us. Who are the Cubbies going out and getting? I'm sure they've got Felipe Vasquez rumors. Ken Giles.
Giles. Diaz. There's a lot of relievers out there.
So, yeah, if you're a Cubs fan, tweet at us. Let me know. But, yeah, man, that's just like a stink that you can't wear off.
Yep. Next up. En fuego.
En fuego. Dirt nasties en fuego.
Let's celebrate some good performances. Why don't we? I have some fun ones on here, Jake, that I was like, whoa. I love learning new names in baseball. There's so many players. 25, really 40 times 30, whatever that number is. That's how many players there are.
Okay.
That can impact a season. This dude, never heard of him. I wonder if you had. Josh Van Meter. 24 years old, on the Reds now. He was drafted by the Padres. He's a fifth-round pick. Shorter guy, 5'11".
Whoa.
He was traded, Jake, as a player to be named later. The Padres traded Luis Supton from the Reds, and he was the player to be named later that the Reds chose from the Padres. He got called up in May, but only came off the bench for like the whole month or 2 months. And his numbers aren't great. He finally gets his first chance to start consecutive games. He had never started three games in a row this season. He starts four in a row. And in his last four games, he is hitting .692 with a .733 on base percentage and a 2.195 OPS. He's got the highest OPS in baseball the last 7 days. Never heard of him. He's had a hell of a week. Josh Van Meter from the Reds. He is in fuego.
Yeah, I'm not super familiar, Jim. I just know the last name stands out because we've been to, what was it, Van Meter, Iowa?
I forget. I don't think it was Van Meter.
I thought it was Van Meter, Iowa. Yeah, I think that's the town Yeah, that's where we went. What famous pitcher is from there?
Don Supton. Bob Feller.
Bob Feller.
Bob Feller's from. We went to his museum.
We went to the Bob Feller Museum in Van Meter, Iowa, so that's why that jumps out. But no, not hyper familiar with Josh. Happy for you, young man. I mean, dude, how many times does it feel like we hear about some guy on the Reds just putting up a big performance? Dude, they've got to have one of the weirder seasons just looking back. Like, they've gotten some really good hitting performances. Their starting pitching grades out really well. But when you look back at this Red season, it's just like, ugh.
Yeah, their run differential's amazing, but they just can't win.
Yeah. Damn. Sorry, Reds. Good job, Josh, though.
Good job, Josh Van Meter. Happy for you.
Yeah. Damn. Who else you got, Jim?
Nelson Cruz. He had a three-homer game in his last seven games. He's got a .485 on base percentage with a 1.657 OPS and seven home runs in his last seven games. That's good. Speaking of home runs, Paul Goldschmidt, six games in a row with the home run, Jake. Get him, Goldie. Tied for first place Cardinals. Goldie's going to lead the way. In his last seven, he has 13 home runs, 10 hits. 10 hits, six homers, no other extra base hits. It's single or homer.
Yes, sir. Yeah, Jim, jumping back a little bit. Nelson Cruz, he is on Edwin Encarnacion's tail for the most home runs this decade. And I know that's kind of a, I don't want to say it's a lame stat. It's just a funny way to look at stats, like genuinely from each decade, who hits the most home runs. Edwin Encarnacion and Nelson Cruz, two guys that we're going to look back and we totally respect as power hitters, but won't be remembered as, I guess, all-time greats, and I don't think that's being rude to them. But when you look back at the most home runs hit by players per decade, I mean, you see Babe Ruth, you see Alex Rodriguez, you see all these all-time names, and one of these guys, basically whoever has the better last 2 months, is going to finish with the most home runs this decade, and whenever they pop that graphic, probably 9 years from now, and then 19 years from now, 29 years from now, we're going to look and see that and say, wow, how about that? So I like a little old man power race in the AL.
Can you tweet out, like, can you be the guy that gives me the updates on the Nelson Cruz versus Edwin Encarnacion decade homer race?
I think
from
I
here to the end of the season?
I think I can.
I think someone needs to give those updates. Follow at Talkin' Jake on Twitter for your Nelson Cruz, Edwin Encarnacion home run.
And that's it now.
Decade.
That's all I'm doing.
I'd really like you to be the guy.
Every at-bat of each.
You need to put alerts on for Nelson Cruz and Edwin Encarnacion at-bats and be dedicated to this.
Fine.
It's who you are now. Change your Twitter bio.
It's my life. It's my new life.
What about, I had another rookie on here. Matt Theis. You heard of this guy? First-round pick.
Walk off.
Got drafted by the Red Sox. He said, no way, Jose. I'd rather go to college. Then he gets picked up for L.A. Got called up on July 3rd. Did nothing for his first eight games. Passed four games. Baltimore Orioles and the worst pitching staff in America comes to town. Three homers. Two in one game. And one was a walk-off. .429 on base percentage. Matt Theis en Fuego.
Proud of you, Matt Theis. And, yeah, I mean, technically a little preview of walk-off watch coming up. Jim, I threw one pitcher on here. And, man, big Mets episode. Jacob DeGrom, Jim. Everyone's been talking Syndergaard with the trade. Zach Wheeler trade rumors. They just go out and get Stroman. Jim, Stroman. Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah.
Your defending NL Cy Young winner. He goes out, he twirls a casual seven innings pitch, zero earned run this week. Yeah, that's fine. Jim, in his last 12 starts, a.k.a. 2 months, over 2 months, he's only had one start where he's given up three earned runs. Every other start has been under three to the tune of a 2.10 ERA. And Jim, this month, more specifically, Jacob DeGrom, 26 innings pitch with a 1.04 ERA. So Jacob DeGrom, again, it gets tricky with some of these DeGrom, Trouts, the studs of the game, because they could be in there every week. Jacob DeGrom deserved to be talked about, so I threw him in there.
Well, I have a stud pitcher right behind him.
Yes.
I have a stud pitcher right
behind. Not in the NL East, right?
Another NL East, guys. These guys in their NL East bias.
Biased.
Here's what I want to talk about. Steven Strasburg. So he had a good outing. Great outing.
Yeah.
He only allowed two base runners. Seven innings pitched, only allowed two base runners, two hits, zero walks. Actually, I think he had a hit by pitch.
Damn.
So that ruins that. I think it was maybe two hit by pitches. So four base runners.
Damn.
But one earned run. But Jake, this was the Dodgers coming to town. This was facing off versus Walker Buehler. This was a big game, kind of. You know what I mean? Like, that was like, you got to come to it. Strasburg versus Buehler. Strasburg comes too. He's having a great month of July. Five starts in the month of July, 1.14 ERA. They have won. They have won. Oh, wow. One, two, three, counting. Four, five, counting. Six, seven, eight, nine, ten. The Nationals have won ten of the last 11 starts.
And Jim, I'll give you a stat that can help out with that. He leads the NL in wins this year. Stevie Strasburg.
Yeah, his last 11 starts, they have won 10 games, and he has gotten the decision, the winning decision, in 10 of those 11. So it's all been him.
Yeah, man.
Wow.
He's been twirling it. It's the team that just I feel the American League. I feel like right now is living in fear of Houston. Like, if Houston can drop the bomb at this trade deadline and go out and get Syndergaard, like, that would just take out, that would take the wind out of everyone's sails. Like, Verlander, Syndergaard, Cole, that would just be tough to beat. You're starting to get into miracle time. Yeah. Dude, if these Nats make it with Strasburg, Scherzer, and Corbin, nobody wants to play them.
Living in fear of that skunk.
Of those Nats. And I know the Dodgers have good pitching too, and they've got a lot of talent, but you want the Nats in a seven-game set? Poppy Gordo doesn't.
Ooh. For those that don't speak Spanish, that means right. Fat dad?
It's around there, loosely. It's a loose translation.
And it's your nickname for yourself since, like, you're 14 years old?
It's a loose translation, yeah. It's a, I don't know, self-fulfilling prophecy, whatever you want to label it. Jim, and I had this as the segue from Enfuego, but we can end it with it. And I forget if we, I don't know if this is our first guy to ever do it. Jim, I'm putting Jonathan VR from Slump Watch last week to Enfuego.
Wow, what a transition.
What a transition. What do we have a nickname for those guys? What's something that goes, microwave guys? They get hot in a hurry. No, that's stolen from NBA. But maybe let's figure out a name from going from Slump Watch
to Enfuego. Well, I got started from the bottom. Now they can hear that song about deaf people and cochlear implants.
Yeah, okay, we can work. We'll brain shop after this. Tweet at us. Tweet at us if you go from Slump Watch to Enfuego, what that is. In the four-game set against the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, California, my guy, Jonathan VR, went 10 for 18. He scored 9 runs in 4 games, 5 RBI, 2 home runs, 5 stolen bases, Jim. A 5.56 batting average with a 1.563 OPS. My guy went nuts this series, so I'm happy for Jonathan VR.
Oh yeah, you know who's not happy? A lot of people that got mad.
A lot of people got mad, Jim.
Who got mad?
Who got mad?
Bauer's the big one, but first there was a Ramon Laureano and Sampson. Adrian Sampson argument. Did you see all this? The backstory is wild.
I did see all this. And there was another A's teammate involved too. I'm blanking on his.
Mark Canha. Canha. I don't know how to say
Canha. Yeah.
So the backstory is that Canha took Sampson deep on June 8th in Arlington, and he really didn't. He watched it. He watched his ball fly through the night sky and then just dropped his bat. No bat flip, nothing. And Samson is one of these Bumgarner types, but he's bad, so it doesn't really make sense. Like, you're going to get really worked up if you're upset every time someone hits a home run and admires it off you. So he's like, run! And is it Canna or Canna? I can never figure it out.
It's a Canna-Canna.
Canna-Canna. So he's like, I'll run, whatever. I don't care. And then Samson was so mad on that June 8th game that he got Laureano out for the last out of the inning. And Laureano says he stepped on his bat. Like Laureano dropped his bat on the first baseline as he was running, and the dude was walking towards the dugout and just stepped right on the bat. And he was mad about that.
Yeah.
So Canna goes deep. He sprints right away out the box. He gets his revenge. And then Laureano goes deep. And he looks at Samson and says, why don't you step on this one? Then Samson's mad at him. He tells the ump, like, you see what he did? And then they get this whole bench. Oh, then they hit him later on. New pitcher came in and hit him. But I think it was on purpose. But whatever.
Yeah, it was. It's going to be tough for me to go a full show without talking about Ramon Laureano. One of my favorites. He hit a bomb. He hit a bomb in his redemption shot, just turned on an inside pitch, and then he pointed at him, he showed him the bat, and he said, you're gonna step on it now. And the pitcher, and that the best part of that exchange was the pitcher and the umpire, and you were all over this in your breakdown. The pitcher starts huffing and puffing over to the first baseline going, run to first, and Laureano's just there like, dude, hit another home run, like, get over it. And the umpire comes over and he's like, hey, you got to calm down. Like, this is good for baseball. Like, I'm sorry he hit a home run off of you, but guys enjoying home runs is what we want. So sorry, dude. Catch the net.
Yeah. And he, like, turns to the ump, like, he started it. It's like, dude, I wasn't a fan of Samson before because I didn't know who he was. Not a fan now, unless he wants to come on the show.
Yeah.
Then I'll like you. So that was some madness. And then, dude, the Diamondbacks and the Marlins emptied benches, but no one cared. Like, no one cares because it's the Marlins and the Diamondbacks. But Christian Walker got hit twice. If we have any fans of those teams listening, I apologize that no one was interested. But Christian Walker got thrown inside twice, and he's walking down the first line baseline. He's just screaming, like, fuck, God damn it, fuck, fuck. Not looking at the pitcher, just kind of like, I just got hit twice. And the Diamondbacks dugout was started like screaming out to the field, like, come on, blah, blah, barking. So Teyron Guerrero looks at them and is like, come on, you want something? Come on. And like starts calling them up. And then it's a whole thing. It's bad. I mean, I might do a breakdown of it, but it's real dumb. Sometimes I like the dumbness. This one's like so uninteresting and bad. The big one is Trevor Bauer. The biggest story in baseball, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
Turns, throws the ball over the center field fence because he had, like, I see a lot of people saw the clip, Jake, and they didn't get any of the context. That's why when I made my breakdown, I was like, I have to show why he's so frustrated because it had nothing to do. So if you just see the clip, people are trying to paint it. I'm sure there's ESPN hot take shows right now painting it as he was refusing to give the ball to Terry Francona and like he didn't want to be taken out of the game. That is not what happened at all. They're going to try and paint it like that. He threw the ball. He had a ball first, and he threw it at the backstop. Then they gave him a new ball, but he didn't want a new ball, so he threw it over center field fence. Like, he's just mad at himself and the terrible luck and the bad inning. So I'm already annoyed with people saying, like, he showed up as manager. No, he acted like crazy immature. You can say that. It was not a, like, I don't want to come out of this game. He knew he was coming out of the game.
Yeah, and I think it's funny, Jim, because I know you were saving this. I'm going to flip it on you. I don't think Trevor Bauer got mad. I think Trevor Bauer was frustrated. I think Terry Francona got mad.
Well, Bauer was mad.
Yeah, I know. It was just a little words play to come back at you because Tito dropped a big, what the fuck are you doing, son, on him, which Terry Francona doing that is always a good time. One of the best dudes in baseball. But yeah, I mean, Bauer was frustrated. There was a swinging bunt the play before that. There's a couple balls that leaked through
A dropped fly out because the sun blinded Mercado.
Right, the sun got in the way of Olivier Mercado, our guy. It was just pure frustration. And if this was anybody else, they'd like there. If this was someone who wasn't Bauer, which to be fair, it is Bauer, and he's put when you put yourself out and you do weird stuff and you be kind of gruff with the media times or whatever you want to be. You set yourself up for when something like this happens, they're going to blow it up on you. If this was just kind of a random guy or, you know, if this was just someone we knew as a competitor or DeGrom or whoever it was, we'd say like, wow, I mean, is this guy frustrated or what? What a competitor. But because it's Bauer, we're like, I told you this guy can be a troubling presence. So I just think it's so funny how quick people can flip the script on it. I've got no problem with it. You fine him. I think you fine Bauer because you can't do that. You can't let players know it's okay to twirl balls into the stands. But I mean, that should be it. Like that should be the end of it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I was trying to say like, I can't love guys for beating up water coolers and like being intense and then hate Bauer on this incident. But that is only talking about the isolated incidents of this, because there is other Bauer stuff from the past where you're like, dude, you seem like a lot to deal with in a clubhouse and on a team. But I do like the fire and intensity, and he is a really good pitcher. But he was not refusing to give the ball to the manager because he did not want to be taken out of the game. I just want to make sure that everyone knows that, because that is what the hot take and the people that didn't watch the full inning and just watch the clip are trying to portray this as. That is not what happened.
Yeah. Well, and the secret double reversey here, Jim, is that Cleveland told Bauer, they're like, dude, we have to trade you. You know, we just can't afford you and we have to get value out of here. So just do something a little weird this game so that we can spin that into the trade deadline, and that's why we're trading you. So when they trade Bauer, the fans won't get mad. They'll be like, yeah, I guess when he threw the ball, that was the last hump that broke
that
the camel
was the
straw.
Last straw, yeah. Oh, dude, I forgot about a quote I wanted to say about the Laureano ejection. Did you see this? I put this here. Laureano was asked if he enjoyed his home run off Sampson, and he said, to be honest, I don't enjoy anything. It just kind of happens, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, so he's essentially my religion currently, is Ramon Laureano.
If he's like just a fatalist, just dead inside. It's pretty awesome. Let's rifle through walk-off watch, because there were so many.
There were so many, dude. You can run, man.
Brewers came back over the Cubs. The Cubs took the lead in the 10th, and then and then the Brewers came back. Kimbrel lost it. Yelich home run to tie it, and then our dude, how do you say his name? Kenton Herrero? That's can't be right.
Keston Hiura.
Keston Hiura hits the walk-off. Good for him. He's having a good year. Teoscar Hernandez, bottom of the 12th, hit a leadoff homer to beat the Rays. Matt Theis hit a home run to win it for the Angels. Seattle had two walk-offs. The first was Kyle Seager single and Malik Smith single. The second was a Dylan Moore double and a J.B. Crawford single, both over Detroit. Oakland had a walk-off walk with Chris Davis. And the Marlins walked off with two consecutive sack flies. They scored three runs in the game, all on sack flies. Again, I think that wins the least interesting series, the Marlins and the Diamondbacks. Because things happened in it, and even myself, a baseball lover, like couldn't get myself to like go check it out.
Yeah, and maybe a little deflating for our D-backs too. Well, that's a team that's still kind of a wild card at this deadline. Are they going to move a lot, or are they going to move very little?
What to watch for? Brian Cashman making trades with the Diamondbacks as the Diamondbacks come to the Bronx and play a two-game set versus the Yankees. I think he's gonna be wheeling deal and asking about Robbie Ray, asking about Granky. Cashman's gonna be trying to do something right then and there.
Classic Yankees move, making the Rays play them right before the trade deadline so they could try to get their pitchers. That's so Yankees.
Yep. We had three debuts, Jake.
Yeah.
None of them highly touted or crazy things happened. Jeremy Walker, relief pitcher for the Braves, made his debut. Jose Rodriguez, relief pitcher for the Angels, made his debut. Ryan Cort, hitter for Seattle, he got a couple hits.
Played a little, played a little first base, right field.
Yeah, he pinch hit in his first game, lined out to left, and then he got like two hits in his next game. Hit the ball hard, got a ground rule double. Good for him.
Yeah, and Jim, I think the bigger news, because you're right, not a lot of big name prospects. Ryan Court made major league debut at age 31. So good for you, dude. Two hits. You have a lifetime trump card on pretty much everyone you ever meet.
I did not look into that. That's crazy. Yeah. Good for him.
He's older than us, Jim.
Take that, Ryan.
A loser.
Ooh, older than us and more successful in baseball.
Enjoy playing Major League Baseball, you loser.
Enjoy health care for life.
Ah.
Awards.
The awards segment of the show, Jim.
I think you get to go first.
I go first, Jim. And I am giving out the Tums Award.
I think I should go on Mondays and you should go on Fridays because you're more of a Friday guy and I'm more of a Monday guy. But
wow,
we'll see how it goes.
I'm actually a pretty big Monday supporter.
No, but you're like a party fun guy. I'm a loser.
With that mentality, you're right, Jim.
That's what I'm saying.
But I want you to shake that mentality. So I think it's wrong.
Oh wow,
Jim, the Tums Award. We give out. One of my favorite awards in baseball through the years was the Rolaids Reliever of the Year Award. Jim, I think we need to start giving out the Tums Award. You know, are they competing companies? Are they together? No, Rolaids and Tums are separate, right?
No idea, but I'm Team Tums all the way, through and through.
You're my expert in the field on that.
I never done
but
Rolaids.
Jimmy, we need to start giving the Tums Award to the best field player pitcher of the year. And Jim, we had a field player made history. Stevie Wilkerson comes in and gets the save in the 16 inning Angels Orioles game. A field player coming in, twirling it, getting a save. That's 2019 baseball, baby.
Did you watch it?
Yeah, I saw he had the floater going.
Yeah, it was the only pitch he was throwing. And it makes a lot of sense because, like, if you were to take a professional baseball player and throw them into a slow pitch softball game, they wouldn't do great their first two at bats because it's so different. And that's basically what he was doing to them.
Yeah, he.
I wanted to make a breakdown of it. After he threw every ball, he got into like this crazy ready position, like jumped into it like a cat, like, oh, it's going to come back. And every time they put one in play, he was looking up like crazy, like, are you going to catch it? He's like so excited and into it. And, yeah. Like, you would think a pitcher would just be like lobbing it and like whatever the fuck happens. He was like, no, let's get this. It was pretty fun.
And I mean, talk about it's probably something that's going to be mentioned when the next CBA or any rule changes get brought up, because there's something to be said about baseball when you're having an outfielder come in and try to get a save in a 10-8 game. It was 16 innings. I get there's extraneous factors there. Hey, and Stevie Wilkerson, Jim, he's got 4 innings on the year now, 2.25 ERA. He's given up 1 earned run. It was a yabo. So Stevie Wilkerson, he is my leader for the Tums Award this season.
Nice. Wow. Good job, Stevie Wilkerson.
Yeah.
My award is the You Got Award.
Ooh. Tough.
Oh, yeah.
I've been on the end of this award. It is not a good feeling.
You got, dude. You know what it goes to?
Who got?
Ben Gamel.
Wow. I was going to mention Ben Gamel earlier because I didn't realize he's hanging out on the Brewers now, right?
Did you see Javi Baez's fake tag?
Oh, yes, I did see that. I didn't realize that was Gamel. Nice.
Dude, it was the 9th or 10th inning. Gamel reaches due to error. Tied game. He steals second to get into scoring position. The Cubs throw the ball into the outfield. Javi misses the ball. Gamel overslides the bag. He could have very easily got up and ran to third, and now you have the go-ahead run on third base. But Javi fakes like he has the ball in his glove. And Javi did it so well, man, because he didn't just straight up tag him. Because if he did that, the ump would not call him out, you know?
Right.
So he like intentionally didn't tag him, but was trying to tag him, and Gamel scurries back to second base. Javi doesn't have the ball. He got.
It was it's awesome. It's a highlight that if you're listening to this and you haven't seen it, you need to look up.
Yeah, I want to do a breakdown of that and of Bumgarner not knowing he struck out.
Yeah, they did the little like chicken dance where you're juking each other for a second. And the fact that Javi thought of that immediately is just so good.
Well, the fact he didn't tag him, like he had to do the juking tag.
Right, and he had the self-awareness to do all of that immediately, and he didn't flinch at all, which a lot of guys, normally a guy would flinch and then maybe try to do that, or they wouldn't try to do that at all. And Javi, man, I think that's a guy, he'd be at the top of the list, I feel, of if you watch that guy play baseball every day, that I think you just fall in love with him.
I agree. I wonder if he did touch him with his glove without a ball in it, if he can get called for obstruction.
Probably.
I know that like in high school, you can't do a fake tag because it's obstruction. It's automatic. And I know that that's not the rule in the majors. Jeter used to do a fake tag all the time. But I wonder if he does make contact, if then they could say that's obstruction, I get to go to third.
There's probably something in the rules about that.
That's interesting. But anyway, Gamel, you got.
Yeah. Saw Gamel on the Brew Crew. He fits in there.
Yep. He does, actually. You ready for elevator talk?
Elevator talk. Favorite segment.
If you're new, 2 minutes will go on the clock. It's a fake 2 minutes, kind of. We're going to spin a wheel. It's got all 30 teams on it. We're going to try and have it land on a team we haven't discussed. If you find yourself in an elevator with a fan of this team, you will be able to hold a conversation, have some fodder. Jake and I will go to the websites that we go to and pull up some information, some conversation starters for you to have. You ready?
Let's get it.
We're spinning. Houston Astros. We did them like 2 episodes ago.
Yeah, they're we're pushing them for now. They're really good.
Tampa Bay Rays?
Ooh, we could Ray out.
I mean, we gave you a little bit. They just traded for Sogard. So that's a big move. I think they're going to flip him. I think they're in the hunt for more. They're in the race with the Red Sox. They're strongly in the race for the wild card. Pretty strong. They're probably not going to win the division.
No, I think, them, the Sox, and the A's, they are battling. They could use another stick, man. They G-Man Choi at first base, an old friend of the program, but he could use a little more. Tommy Pham gets hot. Austin Meadows hasn't been who he was. He's still putting together a nice year. They could use another twig or two. Travis d'Arnaud has been doing great things for them. Oh, my God. I don't know, Jim. This was the team that everyone around baseball was saying was going to make a big trade this deadline, and I don't even know what that would be. And the other thing you know about the Rays is that their pitching has just been so good this year. They're not shy to use that bullpen. It's new baseball a little bit. They are still first in the AL and ERA. Blake Snell just went down for the year. That hurts them. If they can get Tyler Glasnow back, holy smokes. He was impressive early on this season.
That's what I was going to say. They got a lot of guys on the IL right now. They got Jose Alvarado, Yandy Diaz, Avisail Garcia, Tyler Glasnow, Kevin Kiermaier, Brandon Lau, Tommy Pham, Blake Snell, and Ryan Stanek. Those are guys that are part of this team. Some huge, some small, but still have their role. Like all those guys have a role on the team, and they're all hurt right now. They need to get healthy. They have a 3-game set coming up against the Red Sox, so this is huge for them. They just lost 2 out of 3 to the Sox, and the Sox are playing good baseball. So they need to win this series. I think it's a big series for them. Charlie Morton's having a fantastic year. Talk about that.
He was the name I was going to say, Jim. If you see a Rays fan, you give him a firm like, damn, that Charlie Morton signing, that's one of the best signings of the offseason. He's looked, his numbers match what he looks like on the bump this year. Some of the best stuff I've watched live this season.
Yep. And then you need Brendan McKay. Maybe he comes back.
Ooh, he's a big two-way McKay.
Two-way McKay, hitter and pitcher. So that's really fun.
Yeah. I think that's it.
That's it. Oh, and they play in the terrible, terrible place. So there you go.
Oh yeah, make fun of the Trop. On that's your way out of the elevator and like, oh, gotta get out of the Trop, huh? See you later, bro.
I'd love to go to a game at the Trop, but I don't want to wait 2 hours in traffic to go to a stadium where the power goes out.
Ooh.
Boom. That ends the show, Jake.
Tough end for the Rays today.
We'll be back on Friday, and there's going to be a lot of trades. Like, I don't even know how we're going to do a full show.
It's going to be nuts. I thought about trying to rope you into, like, a half-hour, 40-minute trade up Wednesday night. We'll see.
We'll see how it goes. That would be fun. Yeah, we'll see what's going on in my life. We'll see.
But life.
Thank you guys very much for listening. Leave a rating and review if you are so inclined. We would appreciate that. And as always, we need help. Slump Watch in Fuego. Some people were tweeting stuff in who got mad. Oh, Robbie Cano. Someone wanted us to put him on Slump Watch. I didn't look into it, but I think maybe we'll have a user submission maybe in the future. So anyway, be our researchers. Thanks for listening. We will see you on Friday or maybe Wednesday. Last words, Jake?
Go the trade deadline. Excited. Be crazy, baseball. Win a news cycle. How about that?
Win the news cycle. See you guys. Talking baseball.